be looking at Colossians chapter 3, beginning, I think I said at verse 18, right through chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians 3, 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. Found it by now, those of you that were looking. Here we read. It's supposed to be on.
I just wanted to make sure I got the right one.
Alright. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. What a passage before us. All right, let's pray. The battery will quit running in that clock on the wall behind us, and you won't know what time it is should you turn over your shoulder. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we're able to continue this service. And as we have transitioned to that time where we do want to give you the praise, honor, worship, thanks, glory, due unto your name. We thank you again that we have the freedom to hold a service like this. We pray that you would continue to give us that freedom in this nation, as long as you see fit to glorify your name. Pray that you would strengthen and enable. I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead, fill, guide my heart, my thoughts, even what I would say, so that it's not just some man standing up there saying things that would cause one to say, who does he think he is? But may we truly listen to your Holy Spirit using your word, applying the truth to our hearts. Get all the glory in this. Once again, we just pray for our nation, how needy we are, how we know we have turned against you, and we ask your forgiveness, we ask your mercy, and we ask your guidance to those who have that position of leadership over us. We commit this to you with thankfulness in your name, I pray. And you may be seated, but leave your Bibles open. At first, it may seem like it's quite an abrupt change to turn from the subjects which have occupied Paul, these first 17 verses, to turn to what some might think mundane matters as home life, but actually it's the home life that is most significant. Remember that the first institution that God founded on earth was the home in Galatians chapter 2. I'm sorry, not Galatians, Genesis. Those of you that knew anything, you knew that's not. It was Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. We don't have time to turn there, but we see the record of where it all started, where it all came from. By God's design, God is the one that instituted it. And as someone said, as goes the home, so goes the society and the nation. Actually, we see in Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and again, we don't have time to turn there. I'm giving you these references for you note takers, that the breakdown of the home is a sign of the end times. Years ago, a man by the name of Confucius said, "The strength of a nation is derived from the integrity of its homes." Pretty smart guy, wasn't he? One of the greatest things we can do as an individual is to help build godly homes. And there are three areas in the verses that we want to look at today. Three specific areas of instruction, and we're going to just keep them grouped together in those three. And the very first one we would notice in verses 18 and 19 would be number one, husbands and wives. Only it's wives and husbands if you're going to do it in reverse order. Sorry about that. Wives and husbands. And so we see in verse 18, Paul said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." The word submit stirs different thoughts in people's minds. I know. It is not, submit does not mean slavery or subjugation. Actually, we're told that this word submit is a military term, and it simply means to rank or arrange. To rank or arrange. We find that a well-managed army is one where there is arrangement and order. Not everybody can be the general. There needs to be someone in the position of authority. But in order for that army to work properly, there needs to be that chain of command. Under the general is this one who answers to this group of men. Under that second one is another one who answers and keeps the ranks in order and in file. And that is what we see here. That is the word that Paul used under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning wives. Why? Some might say. Because, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:40, God does things decently and in order. If there was no order, everything would be chaotic. Everything. There must be order. And that is consistent with God. This does not mean that the man is better, but that he has the God-given responsibility of headship and leadership in the home. That's what that means. God has placed the man in that top position in the home. Just like It does not mean that a captain, a lieutenant, a sergeant, that any one of those is better than the other. It's just the rank they have been given. It is the position they hold, and they fulfill it accordingly. According to the Believer's Bible Commentary, we find that in God's divine plan, the husband is the head of the house. The woman has been given the place of submission to her husband. She is not to dominate or to lead, but to follow his leadership wherever she can do so, listen, without compromising her loyalty to Christ. There are, of course, instances in which the woman cannot obey her husband and still be faithful to her Christ. In such an instance, her first loyalty is to the Lord Jesus. And where a Christian woman has a backward husband, this verse indicates that she should help him to fulfill his proper place in the home, rather than for her to just usurp it because she might be more clever at things. End of quotes. We find that here in our text in Colossians 3:18, the woman is to submit herself unto her own husband, not just any husband, but to her own. She is only responsible to her own husband. And then, as it is fit in the Lord, and that explains what we were talking about a few moments ago, suppose the husband would instruct the wife to do something that is definitely a sin. It is definitely going against what God's word has said. The answer to that is she's not required to submit, because the order she has been given or the command by her husband is not fit or fitting in the Lord. Don't try to make something so hard to understand in this. I think we can all get the picture of what Paul is talking about. Now, but my husband isn't saved. Peter had an answer for that, didn't he? In 1 Peter chapter 3, we find Peter put it this way. In 1 Peter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. You've got a husband that cares nothing for the things of the Lord. But you as a wife are a believer. What's my responsibility to my husband? Am I to be responsible? Am I to be in subjection to my unsaved husband? Yes. So that, it says, if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, without you constantly preaching at him, be won by the behavior of the wives. While they, these unsaved husbands, behold your chaste or godly manner of living coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing gold, putting on of the latest fashions, but let it be. And here Peter says, women, here is your greatest beauty. It's not the latest fashions or styles or hairdos, but your greatest beauty is, verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, or it can't decay, or it won't go out of style, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. In Ephesians chapter 5, the companion portion to our text in Colossians 3, Paul had this to say in Ephesians 5:22. And by the way, it starts out in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. There needs to be that respect for each one. This is not the case of one being the big bad boss and the other one the timid little servant who always has to do whatever the boss says. We begin at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves once again unto your own husbands. And you say, I struggle with that. I really struggle with that. You know, I have trouble respecting him. I realize he has that God-given position, but I struggle with this. I'm glad Paul put what he did in the Ephesians account for the woman who's struggling, because in that 22nd verse, Paul put this little phrase in there to the struggling wife. You submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. You having trouble submitting to the Lord? Tell the Lord you're having trouble struggling to Him. And here we see, here is the degree to which, here is the attitude of heart which a woman needs to fill her being if she finds herself struggling a bit. Submit as I submit to my husband, Lord. I'm submitting as unto you because I know this is what you want me to do. Verse 23, why should she do that? For the husband is the head of the wife. Not more important. It's just that's the position God has given. Notice, the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is head of the church, and he, Christ, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul added another word, and there he said, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. You see, you women, you say, we don't like having somebody in the headship position. Well, guess what? The man has someone in a headship position over us. I want you to know the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, God the Father. So we see, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, much instruction concerning this first realm of the importance of Christianity starting and working and being demonstrated in the home. Now let's move on to verse 19. Now in verse 19, as we go back to our text here, now Paul says, okay, husbands, now it's your turn. He said in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love, and we find here in conjunction with this, we find love in counterpart to the word that's given to the wives is the husband's obligation to love his wife. The woman was given that instruction, you be submissive to your husband. But to the husband, your obligation is to love your wife. As we think of this, as we talk about love, this is not simply a matter of you have affectionate feelings or sexual attraction toward one another. But the instruction to the husband, it involves his active and unceasing care for her well-being. His active and his unceasing care for her well-being. May I take you back to Ephesians chapter 5, the counter portion, as Paul had said it there in verses 25 through 28. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, I love her. Here's to what degree, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Here's a question. How did Christ give himself for the church? The answer is, he gave himself sacrificially for the church. Get the idea, men? He gave it all. He held nothing back. He laid down his life for the church. Yeah, that's all in our job description, men. If need be, that's how much God expects of husbands and how dedicated and responsible he expects you and me as husbands to be sacrificial. It's her first, not me. That was the attitude of our Lord when he was here. He came not down to this earth to do his own thing and do his own will. He came on the mission of the Father, and that was to redeem the church. And the only way he was going to redeem the church was to give his all, whether it was convenient, comfortable, or interesting. It was for the church. It was for the bride of Christ that he did this. And as we're here in Ephesians 5, he said that's how much a husband is to love his wife. Even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, and by doing that he might sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Why? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He completed the task, is what Paul is filling in here. He didn't leave anything undone. He fully redeemed her, fully provided for the cleansing of her sin, so that he could present to himself that glorious church. No spots, no dingy look, but white as snow through his precious blood that was shed. And then Paul concludes that in verse 28 by saying, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. As much as they love their own body. You're not fooling yourself, and you're not fooling anybody but yourself, man, if you are sitting here saying, I don't love myself. You know, we do. You betcha we do. We know how the old flesh likes to take that place of prominence, don't we? Paul said, you know, man, your wives, they have a God-given responsibility to follow your orders, follow in rank of what you're saying and what you're doing. You have a tremendous job as their head of providing, caring for them, so that your top priority is you think of your wife as much as you think of yourself. That's what verse 28 says. You love your wife as much as we love ourselves. That's what it says in verse 28. You say, I've got a problem with that, Lord. Talk to the Lord about it, man. I didn't write this. This is what our responsibility is. This isn't chicken feed here. This isn't, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. The pulpit commentary, we find this. It said, one author said, our Lord as the head used his position only to love the church and to give himself up for its deliverance. So it is the duty of the husband to love and to protect her weakness with his strength. Now, here in Colossians 3:19, we find Colossians has an interesting word on the man's verse. And you say, that's kind of strange. What do you mean? When he said, and be not bitter against them. Well, we're told, Thayer's tells us, this word bitter is to render angry, indignant, or irritated. To render angry, indignant, or irritated. Don't be angry, indignant, irritated toward your wife. As I thought about this, what Paul is saying is that loving care leaves no room for mistreatment. Because there was no mistreatment ever modeled by our Christ toward his bride. And we have a great responsibility. We don't have time to really get into this and be not bitter toward them. We just know, man, don't we, that we need to be careful to make sure that we're not holding grudges. We're not refusing to extend forgiveness when forgiveness is asked. We're not going back beating the dead drum over the head. But we are to be loving them in the same manner that the Lord loved us. Well, as we think of this, we could spend our whole time on husbands and wives, couldn't we? But we need to move on. We see the second grouping as we see how important it is that Christianity be at work at home. And that second grouping here in verses 20 and 21 is children and parents. Children and parents. A, he's going to talk about children. And in verse 20, he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. As I looked at this, I thought of really, when you look at this verse, Paul's given three things, if you like to really expand your outlines. The command is to obey the parents. And this simply means to hearken to a command, to be obedient unto. In the old little booklet called Moody Manna, it says this, and there may be a person who is asking, well, wait a minute, what's the difference between what's told a woman to be submissive and to be to the children, to be obedient? Aren't you just saying the same thing? You're talking about a woman supposed to be walking around like a whipped pup. No. In this particular little booklet, it says a distinction is to be made or noted between the relation of the wife to her husband and the relation of children to their parents. The wife is to submit herself to her husband, while the children are commanded to obey their parents in all things. There are two different words that are used. The first one means to be arranged under. That's that military term. And the second one means to hear under. Hence, to obey the instructions given by the parents. That's not a popular thought in this day and age, is it? I mean, who obeys their parents anymore? Well, that's the command, and we think about the second word, which is the context. How are children to obey their parents? The context is what? In all things. In all things. Today's home, so many times it's, I'll obey when I get around to it. I'll obey if I like the sound of it. I'll obey if I'm not doing something else. I'll obey. And we keep talking, and so many homes, this relationship between child and parent is so strained, if it even exists at all. Sadly, in many homes, the children just look at their parents and basically tell them where to get off. Because there is no respect. They have not been taught. This is what your responsibility is. This is what you are responsible to be obedient to your parents. We find that once again, as I think of those who would say, well, what if the parent instructs their child to do something terrible, horrible? Is it against what God, what is right and wrong according to the Word of God? Is it something that the parent is instructing them to break the law, such as go down to Kohl's and get yourself a new pair of shoes? Just don't get caught walking out with them. No, you say, but I'm instructed to obey my parents in all things. In all things that are, and as it says here in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, it clarifies it even in our text in Colossians, and then we'll look at Ephesians 6. The answer to the go rob a bank, go steal some shoes, daughter, go prostitute yourself or whatever to earn some money. Yeah, I'm your parent and I'm telling you to go do that. And you've got to obey me. Paul answered that question in verse 18. He says, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Is Are those kinds of instructions would be well pleasing to the Lord? Certainly not. And there's the break. There's the difference. In Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If the instruction is not in or according to, in line with what the Lord would say, if it is wrong, if it is sinful, and it would cause that child to be sinning against their God, they cannot, they must not obey. That's not what Paul is getting at here. He's talking about that general instruction for children to be obedient to their parents. And he says, when you obey your parents in the Lord, this is right. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. Don't tell them where to go. Don't be so snippy and disrespectful in your answers back to them as you talk with them. You give them honor. They are your parents. Do you know how long they will continue to be your parents? Either until one of you die. Either they're going to be your parents when you die, if they're still alive, or they're going to be your parents when they die. You still honor them. You say, is that, yeah, I'm supposed to be tied to their... No. As we grow up, we get responsibility. We get out on our own. But you know what? Honor and respect parents is never negated by growing old. Never. And we find that honoring father and mother is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so we find here the instruction we are to, as long as the parent is not requiring that which would be sinful, obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord. Look at verse 23 of our text in Colossians. 23, and I think we're probably going to have to just wind down with this one. We're not going to be able to finish up. I think it would be better to carry over rather than carry you over. In verse 23, Paul said, not 23, 21, sorry. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's counterpart to that is this, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the training, and the admonition of the Lord. How come it is, somebody said, that it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath? Actually, and I look this up, and I do this, I read something, and I think, is that really the truth? And I read that in a book or two as I was studying, and it said that actually the same word translated fathers here is translated in one verse in Hebrews, and it's translated parents there. It wasn't just fathers. So, but most times it is translated fathers. And this word to the fathers, it's what's the word to them? Provoke not. Provoke not. Can you imagine a father provoking his children? I'm looking at my wife. One of the things that I have really been enjoying with my grandchildren is to be reminded of how important it is that these grandchildren have grandmothers. Because we'll be talking about something, we'll be planning something, we'll be doing something, and grandma is feeding me. Now, don't be so stern. Don't be so quick. Don't say this. Don't say that. And bottom line is, I've heard it, if I've heard it once, I've heard it dozens of times. It's a good thing those grandchildren have grandmothers. That's all I can say. Well, and I think I heard that when I was raising my three children. It's a good thing they've got a mother to kind of keep the lid on things sometimes. Well, as we all foolishness aside, this word provoke comes from a word which means to stir up, stimulate, or excite. To stir up, stimulate, or excite. Now, you can provoke somebody for good and to stir them up for a good thing. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, don't discourage your children to that point where they lose heart, they want to throw in the towel, they just become discouraged. How, Pastor? There's multiple ways. Let me just tell you some of my probably favorite offenses. My wife would say, "Yeah, I think you know what you're speaking about there." Unrealistic expectations or requirements. Unrealistic expectations or requirements. That can discourage kids. You're expecting too much of them. Well, I don't want to grow up and be a lazy bum. Yeah, but he's only 7 years old. You're expecting him to do this? Or you're requiring that? Here's another one. Fault finding. Oh, it's easy for fathers to find fault with their children. Have you noticed? Why'd you do it like that? Or, here's one that, you know, you say, how did you come up with these? I'm familiar with it. Seldom praising or commending their efforts or their accomplishments. Well, I was so happy. I was just so proud, son, daughter, that you got this done. You know, I know you worked hard on that, and I just want you to know how pleased I was. As we think of this, what happens? They become disheartened. They become dispirited. Their spirit gets broken. And if we're not careful, before long, we turn them away. Not only from ourselves, parents, but more seriously, if we're not careful, we're going to turn them away from the Lord by the way we treat them. And so we see, we've looked at two groupings this morning as we thought about the fact that it really starts at home. What starts at home? Genuine Christian living. And we looked at the grouping of the wives and husbands. We looked at the children and parents. And I trust that as we just stop here, we'll have to pick up with servants and masters, employees, employers next week and continue on. I trust the Spirit of God will be able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your heart. I'm praying he'll do the same in mine. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this portion. Thank you for these verses. We weren't able to get nearly as far as we had hoped, but I pray that we have gotten as far as we intended, and that was what I had prayed. Lord, we need your help. Whatever position we find ourselves in, and some of these are multiple positions, I pray that you would get the glory in our lives. I pray that we would truly, with your help, want to be doers of your word, not just hearers only. In your name we pray. Amen. In your songbooks, if you would turn to 4.